This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
A young man lives with worthlessness. He says, my brother graduated, my cousin got a job, everybody else is doing better, this one already got married, look at me, I've got nothing.
Iblis did not want the human being to be acknowledged as something worthy.
There's a discussion about Lam that I had with a notable scholar many years ago, and I was surprised that a few months ago he agreed with what I said about this. And I'll talk about that in a little bit, but I want you to focus first on the first piece of this conversation. Allah has described that He is about to create our Father, and He has also described the process He's going to use to create us. He says, first of all, I'm going to make Him from tin. Now let's pause here for a second. We're not the only creation on this earth made from tin. In fact, all of the animals and all of the species that exist on this planet also are made from tin. So that's the common element between us and the rest of the life that exists on this planet. All of the animals and all of the insects, all of it, that's from tin. Fine. But there's something additional about this creation that He's about to make, our Father, and by extension us, that is more than just tin. There's something more than just this animal presence, this animal existence. And by the way, we have something in common with animals. Animals seek food and shelter. We go to the grocery store seeking food. We go to the restaurant seeking food. We look for shelter too. In fact, those are the two primary things that drive us to get an education and get a job or start a business. At the end of the day, it boils down to food and shelter. What's in the fridge? And whether or not you're living in a home that has proper shelter, are the electricity bills paid? Is the water running? What I'm trying to say is we're just way more advanced at getting food and shelter than animals. But at the end of the day, those are the same basic functions. And then they procreate. They have children. They continue the species. And that's what human beings do too. So in that sense, as far as the continuity of life, we're not that much different from the animal kingdom. And from what any other species does. We build homes, a bird builds a nest. We go out and, you know, seek our rizq, and the birds go out and they seek their rizq. But then Allah adds, He's informing the angels, why is this creation from dirt different from all the other species that exist? فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ When I make Him balanced, when I make Him balanced, taswiyah is actually to perfect and balance the craft of something. So for example, if somebody's designing, or welding metal, they kind of make sure that the metal is welded completely even, and they have tools to make sure that it's completely straight. That's called taswiya. So Allah says that there's a level of balance and perfection that is going to be added to this creature that doesn't exist in other creatures. But in one sense, other species physically have way more balance than we do. Monkeys can hang on one arm. They have pretty good balance. Birds have amazing reflexes, right? So this is talking more than just our ability to stand up on 2 feet. Allah is telling us that human beings will have an ability to balance opposing things. They're going to have the ability, for example, to balance their individual needs with the needs of their family. They're going to balance their personal responsibilities with social responsibilities. They're going to balance their rights and their responsibilities. They're going to balance, our entire life is actually going to amount to balance. And in fact, today, now, there are, you know, there's a multi-million dollar industry that, you know, teaches, successful people, business people, executives, they attend these work-life balance seminars, right, to achieve balance. And Allah says that human beings have the potential, this human being will have the potential to live a life that is evened out, that's balanced. As one of the great qualities of the human being that Allah describes, that's going to make him amazing. So first He's made like every other animal, but then He's got this remarkable ability to balance things. And then He says, on top of all of that, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. By the way, one aspect of balance before I go further is He says, the balance is actually between our impulses, our emotions, and our thought process. So let me explain what that means. When a hungry dog sees something, it goes and it bites it. It doesn't think about the consequences. There's the emotion and then there's the action. That's it. But human beings, they can look at something and say, nope, that's illegal. No, that's haram. Their mind comes in at work. They think about the consequences. You're getting late for work. There's a red light, right? You have the ability to balance your emotion, your need, your desire to get to work early, but your need to abide by the law and stop at the red light. We're able to balance our thoughts and our emotions. Unlike other species, when they have an emotion, they have an impulse, they jump on it. They react. But we can think about the consequences. We can think about the long term. We can hold ourselves back. That's actually one of the great names of our intellect in the Quran is al-hijr and an-nuha. These are words that are used to describe our intellect. And al-hijr means a boulder, a rock, because a rock is a barrier to moving forward. And an-nuha is prevention, because our mind prevents us from doing stupid things. It gets in our way. And sometimes, you know, I get overwhelmed with emotions and we make stupid decisions, or we say things we shouldn't have said, or we do things we shouldn't have done because we weren't thinking at the time, because we let our emotions get out of balance. Right? So Allah Azza wa Jalla here says, human beings will be made with this amazing ability of balance. Then he says, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ. And then on top of that, I will blow into him from my own ruh, meaning the ruh that Allah especially designed for this human being, this special spiritual connection, this special thing that will connect him, this human being, and Allah together in a unique way, in this unique, powerful way. That's what's going to be inside him. So this ruh is inside him, unlike other animals and other species. There's a special kind of thing, a special kind of light inside this human being. So he's made up of these three things. He's made up of dirt, and he's made up of this balance, and he's made up of this ruh. Three components Allah described in this ayah, and he let the angels know these are the three parts that will make this human being amazing. And when these three things come together, then فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ, then fall into sajda. And Allah is making a claim here to all of the angels. And the angels, it's important to note, the angels don't just see the seen. The angels are creatures of the unseen. So what is invisible to us, like the arsh of Allah, what is invisible to us like the jinn, what is invisible to us like the secrets of the skies, many of them, the angels, they travel through the skies. So we can be amazed by a mountain or an ocean or a waterfall. The seen world, that amazes us. When somebody studies the universe and looks through an electron microscope, they can be amazed by the vastness of the seen universe. Can you imagine? Add to the seen universe those that have seen the unseen also. How much more amazed by what Allah does are they? And then on top of that, they get to communicate directly with Allah. Allah talks directly to the angels. They're not like us. They have direct back and forth communication with Allah. And Allah is telling them that this creature is so incredible. Of all the vast universe that He created, of all the things that He put in this remarkable seen and unseen kaun, He says this one thing is so powerful that every last one of you should be overwhelmed at what Allah has done when He created Adam. That you should fall into sajda. You should just be, you know, like in awe of this incredible miracle of Allah that deserves that all of the angels of Allah, فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ, all of them, all together, fell into sajda. The thing is, when the staff of Musa alayhi salam incident happened, a few magicians fell into sajda. When a few people heard the Quran, a few, you know, the disbelievers fell into sajda, or some Christians fell into sajda. You find some fall into sajda. And you find in this one incident, every angel that Allah ever created is commanded to fall into sajda. How big of a miracle, how big of a deal is the creation of Adam alayhi salam? How powerful is this creation? When you contemplate that, and again, Adam has not been created yet. This is just the announcement. Why should you be so amazed? What deserves this sajda? What warrants it? Why should they fall on their faces? Well, it's because of these three things. إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِّن رُوحِي. Then الْفَاءَ السَّبَبِيَة. Therefore, or thereafter, fall into sajda. The fa could be sababiyah too. Thus you will fall into sajda before him. So now, this announcement is made. And Iblis, we know, heard this announcement also. And if Iblis heard this announcement, he also knows that Adam is made up of three things. I keep saying three things so it sticks in your head. Three things, three things, three things. But we know that when Allah tells us that when he refused to do sajda, he turns to Allah. He doesn't say, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ وَسَوَّيْتَهُ وَنَفَخْتَ فِيهِ مِن رُوحِكَ. He doesn't say that. He says, you made me from fire. You made him from
dirt. That's just one of those three things, isn't it? There's two more things. And he knows about those two other things. He knows about the taswiya, the balance of the human being. He also knows about the ruh that is inside the human being. But when he complains to Allah that you made him from dirt, he pretends that he doesn't know about those other two things. But he does. He fully knows. This is a really important thing that I want to highlight in these brief moments in this khutbah. There's hundreds of lessons in the story of Adam alayhi salam, but I hope I can do some justice to this one lesson that I want you to take today. And that is that when he denies these other two things, he knows that if he acknowledges those two things, then he has to acknowledge how incredible the human being actually is. But if he only acknowledges the dirt, if he only acknowledges the mud, then what's the difference between Adam and a horse? What's the difference between Adam and a cow and a monkey? They eat, he eats. They get shelter, they get shelter. They have kids, he has kids. He's just an evolved animal. That's all. Okay, so he can stand on his 2 feet. Big deal. What's the big deal? He's just an evolved species. There's nothing more to him. There's nothing more to him. So he deliberately denies two components of our existence out of the three. Two of them, he denies them. And if he accepts them, then he has to accept the supremacy of what Allah has made, the remarkable thing Allah has made. Now, he hates humanity. He blames Allah for giving us this position. And he swore that he wants to not only see Adam alayhi salam fail, because you know, if you hate Adam, then you got Adam expelled from Jannah, you should be like, I'm good now, I got my revenge, feel better. Nah, he doesn't feel better. He's like, now I'm gonna get his kids, and now I'm gonna get his family, and now I'm gonna get their kids, and their kids. And he keeps ruining human beings time and time and time and time again. And the rage of his fury doesn't go away. He doesn't feel any better after getting revenge or destroying. He doesn't feel any better. So the thing is, how does he destroy human beings? He does many things to destroy us. But one of the most important things he does, which is actually, now I get to talk about the topic of my khutbah today. One of the things that we learn from this passage and these ayat of the Quran is that Iblis did not want the human being to be acknowledged as something worthy. And his greatest success, one of his greatest successes, if he can convince you and me that in fact you're not worthy. Self-worth, valuing yourself, respecting yourself as a human being is actually one of the great crises in the world today. People in the sociology, people in the world of psychology, people across in families across the world are facing a crisis of people who don't see any worth in themselves. Oh, I used to have a job, but I'm retired now. Nobody cares about my opinion. I'm worthless. I just sit home all day. My son has a job. My daughters are gone away to college and I'm just useless here. I'm just a burden on everyone. There's an old man sitting in his home thinking he's completely worthless. All I can do is just go to the masjid and come back, but I live with this worthlessness inside me. It's just better if I just die. These are the thoughts he had inside He doesn't say it. Sometimes he even says it. Lives with this worthlessness. A young man lives with worthlessness. He says, my brother graduated, my cousin got a job, everybody else is doing better. This one already got married. Look at me. I've got nothing. I didn't accomplish any of those things. Oh, I wasted so many years. I should have done this. I should have done that. Everybody tells me I'm a loser. I must be a loser. What does Iblis want to do? He wants to get people to say things around you in your life. They'll say things to you that make you feel worthless. They don't even realize they're doing it. They don't even realize it. But they're having this effect on you when you start thinking, yeah, maybe I am worthless. Maybe I'm not that big of a deal. I'm a nobody. And you know what that does? Once you develop low self-esteem, you don't value yourself, then you're always thinking the only way I will be valued is if somebody else values me. If somebody else approves, then I have value. So I'm gonna take a picture of myself. I'm gonna make sure I change all the filters enough times, and then I'm gonna post it online, and I'm gonna wait for somebody to do this, or somebody to put one of these, or at least a mashallah or something. Give me something. Because if somebody gives me, I have some value. All right, now what do I got to do? I need more value because I'm worthless again. I haven't posted in 2 days. I need to get back on. I need to feel valued again. When you don't have enough value for yourself, you're always looking for value from where? Somewhere else. Someone else. Always looking for somebody else's approval. Always looking for somebody else's compliment. You didn't say anything. You didn't do, what do you think? What do you think I should do? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? Constantly asking for somebody else's opinion. Because without it, you're worthless.
When you truly realize your worthiness, then you realize that when someone, if someone is criticizing me and saying, hey, you said this incorrectly, or you need to improve this, or this could be better, then they're doing me a favor to help me improve. I don't feel like I'm being insulted. Because when you have really low self-worth, then criticism feels like you're being pushed even lower down. But that feeling goes away once you have value for yourself. Once you recognize Allah has given me value. Then you start seeing correction or criticism as an opportunity to grow. It's not humiliating anymore. Find value in yourself that Allah has already given you. May Allah Azza wa Jalla allow us to value ourselves, see our worth, and not allow shaitan to make me and you see ourselves as someone worthless or unworthy or someone who should be stepped on or should be punished. We should stop doing that self-hatred, and may Allah allow that self-value never to turn into arrogance. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim.
I hope you guys enjoyed that video clip. My team and I have been working tirelessly to try to create as many resources for Muslims to give them first steps in understanding the Quran all the way to the point where they can have a deep, profound understanding of the Quran. We are students of the Quran ourselves, and we want you to be students of the Quran alongside us. Join us for this journey on bayinatv.com, where thousands of hours of work have already been put in. And don't be intimidated. It's step by step by step, so you can make learning the Quran a part of your lifestyle. There's lots of stuff available on YouTube, but it's all over the place. If you want an organized approach to studying the Quran beginning to end for yourself, your kids, your family, and even among peers, that would be the way to go. Sign up for bayinatv.com.